Pavilion Opinions Podcast, featuring Instant Kumar for Sangakkara at the Rose Bowl. In the West Indies, Chris Gayle's heir apparent is still rather less apparent than Chris Gayle's hair. And in a new feature, how to speak like Jeffrey Boycott in Czech. Yes, hello and welcome to the Pavilion Opinions podcast. It's James here from pavilionopinions.com, speaking from a pleasant evening in the Czech Republic. I've managed to reschedule my tea until 8 o'clock so I can record this episode. Yes, on that slightly tenuous dig at ICC break regulations, let's move swiftly on to the match, which has just finished at the Rose Bowl. Finished in a draw between England and Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka batting out the fifth day. It's been rather a stop-start game. Bit of a shame for the Rose Bowl and everyone at Hampshire hosting their first test. But they've still seen some pretty decent cricket, I'd say, not least from the Sri Lanka captain, former captain, and soon to be former captain again, Kumar Sangakkara, who made a wonderful 119. He was very ably supported by Samara Weera, who chipped in with 87. Probably should say jacket potatoed in with 87. Chipped in doesn't really do it justice. It was a very solid innings. And they were also pretty ably supported by Thirumana on debut. Didn't make a lot of runs, but again, very doughty at the start of Sri Lanka's second innings, and I think set the tone for them to save the game. England, again, like Lords, they never really looked like they might force the issue and take the game. Probably look back to the end of the first day, they had Sri Lanka 81-4, which might sound like a whole world of trouble, but in those conditions, perhaps they could have had them in even more. But still some positives to take. Tremlett made every Sri Lankan batsman tremulous again. He really does look like a fearsome fast bowler, and his reputation only added to today by Shane Warne on commentary discussing how he can fit his entire fist in his mouth. That's Chris Tremlett's fist in Tremlett's mouth. Should probably clarify that when Warne's involved. Bowled very well today, I thought, but quite unlucky. Broad again, I thought he bowled better than he did at Lord's, but it seems almost obligatory to say he bowled too short. But if idiots like me can see that, there's probably a fairly decent chance that Andy Flower and Andy Strauss can see that, so I think it's clearly being asked to still bowl this slightly enforcery type role. I don't know, he is a nippy bowler, but I don't know whether it's an image thing. He is quite a pretty man, and he does sort of pout rather than glare back at the batsman after he's sent down some short stuff. I can't remember Andy Roberts or Merv Hughes pouting a batsman, and when Broad tries to give you the evil eye, it's rather like having Scarlett Johansson sulking at you, which I'd say is probably infinitely more tolerable than Tremlett and his dribbly fists. But I'm not suggesting Tremlett should take up this enforcer role that we seem to have. But anyway, I thought Broad did bowl better, but still, I don't know. Improvements to be made there. Anyway, so England take the series 1-0, and we'll look forward to the ODI series. And on an ODI note, we've just had fourth and fifth between the West Indies and India over in the Caribbean. The fourth featured a bit of a collapse from India, and fifth featured a tremendous innings from a resurgent Darren Bravo in West Indies' first run chase in the entire series. He's not the new Brian Lara, of course, although it's very easy for people who like a bit of hyperbole, such as myself, slip into that trap whenever any slightly swashbuckling left-handed batsman from the Caribbean shows up. Not that there's been that many in the last few years, to be honest. But probably most importantly, I don't think Bravo buys into this Lara nonsense. He seems quite a level-headed chap, and it was just good to see him batting with a bit of freedom after he's been in the doldrums for a few months. Anyway, so even though he swished, I think, six sixes in that final ODI, he was still upstaged by the presence of Chris Gayle at the match, just watching as a spectator. So he was there, dressed as if he had been sent undercover into a Curtis Mayfield album. Also sporting his astonishing new peaked afro hair, which I think is even higher than Shane Warne's new eyebrows. But he was there just supporting his ex-teammates, which I found quite a sort of heartwarming thing, even though he's banned from playing for the side at the moment, at least not selected. I think after Marlon Samuel secured the match for the Windies, he went over to shake Gayle's hand, so it seems apparent that in terms of dressing room harmony, there perhaps doesn't seem to be much problem with Gayle and the rest of the Windies side, but this terrible rancour and rancorous dispute with the West Indies Cricket Board rumbles on. There was apparently a meeting to try and clear the air the other day, but apparently that descended into near fisticuffs. So when your dispute resolution is descending into something like backstage at Jeremy Kyle, then sadly it seems as if we're not going to see Chris Gayle in a Windies shirt, and certainly not in the Test Series against India, which has just started and is taking place as I speak. Couple of points of interest there. Obviously India remain depleted, there's no Sachin, there's no Gambhir, there's no Sehwag, but Dravid and Laxman are playing in the series. But probably more interest is down the other end of the team for me, where we'll see Mishra bowling in tandem with Harbhajan. And although Mishra rather lost the plot a bit towards the end of the fifth ODI under pressure, although Ashwin did too, he has largely out-bowled Harby in the ODI series, so it'll be interesting to see how they go in tandem in the Test series. So just to finish today, I thought I'd introduce a new feature to the Pavilion Opinions podcast. I think it's something that the world's been crying out for, namely how to speak like Jeffrey Boycott in Czech. So for example, if you're in Prague and you want to say "Right in the corridor of uncertainty," he would say "Primo v corridoru nejistoty." That's "Primo v corridoru nejistoty." So there you are. I think I've been quite even-handed there. My Czech accent equally as appalling and doubtless offensive as my Yorkshire one, but I just thought I'd introduce a continental element to the podcast this week. So on that note, I shall walk through the corridor and out of the door. So until next time, from me, James, at pavilionopinions.com, goodbye!